Over the weekend, Finland and Sweden submitted formal applications to join NATO, breaking their military neutrality and posing a shift to Europe's security order. Turkey's President Erdogan has been emphatically reluctant to accept Finland and Sweden, citing Sweden's harbouring of Kurdish rebels and bans on the trade of weapons. On the other hand, the majority of NATO members have shown widespread support. James Murray has more.
NATO's potential expansion in Europe was cited by Russian President Vladimir Putin as one of the factors influencing their invasion in Ukraine. In spite of this, both Finland and Sweden have submitted their application to NATO this week, requiring the approval of all NATO members if the applications are to be accepted. Speaking to Dr. Stephen Fruling of the Strategic and Defence Study Centre at the Australian National University, I asked why Finland and Sweden are now seeking membership with NATO.
Sweden and Finland are now reconsidering and have decided to end their traditional neutrality as a consequence of Putin's attack on Ukraine. Essentially, they've decided that Russia hasn't changed in the way that we had hoped it had changed after the end of the Cold War, and the time to join NATO is now, while Russia is tied up in Ukraine before it could set its sights on other neighbours.
One of the more outspoken members of NATO arguing against Finland and Sweden's membership has been Turkey. Dr. Fruling goes on to speak on why Turkey would be reluctant to accept their membership.
Turkey does have a somewhat strained relationship, in particular with Sweden, over traditional Swedish sympathies with some of the Kurdish militant groups, some of which are recognized by the European Union and the U.S. as terrorist organizations. I think more important here is that Turkey has realized that the rest of NATO, in particular the United States, that it's very important for them, for Sweden and Finland, to be admitted to NATO. And it's simply blackmailing, if you like, the rest of the alliance in order to get concessions on quite unrelated issues. In particular, Turkey has a very strained relationship, not just with Europe, but also with the United States. The United States is refusing to sell Turkey, for example, joint strike fighters, since Turkey procured a Russian air defense system. Ultimately, what Turkey is after are concessions on these quite unrelated issues in the negotiations with Washington more than with Sweden and Finland.
Among NATO's members, Turkey has not been the only country to show reluctance to accept Finland and Sweden. Dr. Alexei Muraviev of ASPE speaks on these other countries.
Well, surprisingly enough, there were interesting moves made by Croatia on that front. And Croatia representative also stated that his country may also be unwilling to support Finland's admission as well as the admission of Sweden into NATO. And it's hard to say what drives Croatia's reluctance. But I think NATO is facing a major problem when the larger it gets, the less united it becomes. I mean, NATO has obviously shown greater unity towards its response to Russia's aggression against Ukraine. But we need to remember that NATO also has problems of its own. There are territorial disputes among its members, and different members of the alliance have different agendas. So in times like these differences may actually play a detrimental role in terms of achieving consensus and showing a unified approach.
Dr. Fruling goes on to speak to the possible effects of a change in NATO on Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
I don't think that it'll have any real impact on what is happening in Ukraine. I mean, obviously, it's not about extending any NATO guarantees to Ukraine itself. It'll have neither a beneficial nor a detrimental impact on Russia's ability to continue the conflict in Ukraine. But I think if Russia, after the war, can take stock of the decision to invade, obviously having pushed Finland and Sweden into NATO will stand out as a serious unintended consequence of the conflict. I don't think that Russia in any way needs to feel threatened by this expansion. In the end, Finland and Sweden have both said that they are not looking to create significant military infrastructure or base allied forces on their territory, but obviously it will strengthen significantly the military cooperation between Finland and Sweden, and will significantly strengthen those countries' ability to withstand Russian coercion as well as attack. Good for Finland and Sweden, less good if you are Russia that thinks it can use military force to impose its will on its neighbours.
Dr. Stephen Fruling of the Strategic and Defence Studies Centre at the Australian National University, ending that report by James Murray.